How about you, husbands? Are you willing to die for your bride? Because that's the way Christ looks at the church. Think how much Christ loves each one of us individually. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The church.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Roel Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Well, as we close out another year and look ahead to the future, Roel will return to the Song of Solomon for wonderful reassurance of Jesus' constant loving presence in our lives. Stay with us for encouragement to experience every high and low of the coming months in close communion with Jesus, your Savior, strength, and joy. Let's listen as Roel Reese begins.
Turn to the book again of the Songs of Songs. Here in chapter 2, what he does now, we continue here, is that there's no break. Chapter 1, 2, there's no break. It just continues on. Now, in your Bible, there's a break. A lot of times when your Bible, you're reading Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, many times you have chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. In the original languages, there were no chapters. No chapters at all. The chapters came in about the 1500s in order for us to be able to read the Bible easier. So when you look at the Bible being written here in Hebrew, you begin to get the picture that as the writer Solomon is writing, you can see the heart and the picture of Jesus and his wife. Check this out in chapter 2, verse 1 here. He says, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. So here I am, notice the rose of Sharon. It's in reference to Jesus Christ, to Christ himself. If you've been to Israel with us, the Sharon Valley is next to the Mediterranean. If you're in Tel Aviv, and we're going to go up to Caesarea, where the Romans built that bridge, and you go there, you'll begin to see that that place used to be swamps before the Jews came back into the land. They planted eucalyptus trees to suck up all the water out of the ground. But going back into the Old Testament, when Solomon was writing this, it was a place that was beautiful, beautiful valley. They not only grew vines with fruit under, but at the same time, this whole valley was very fertile. So when you look at the nation of Israel today, you go over to the Sharon Valley. It is now built up with houses, I mean roads, and it's just so packed out with things now. When I went the first time, and said there was nothing there, nothing but fields. As you move from there, you're going up to Mount Carmel, where Elijah rebuked and killed the 400 prophets. When you go up this way, you'll blow your mind, because as you're going through the valley, you'll see banana trees, you'll see cherries, strawberries, a place where nothing used to grow. And you can see the prophecy of the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, chapter 37. What God would do with the nation of Israel in the last days, bringing them back to life, making them his own people, making them a nation. They would never, ever again would leave the land, only one more time, and that's in the tribulation period. When the Antichrist will try to kill them, they'll go to the city of Petra. According to the book of Zechariah, chapter 14, it says that the Antichrist will kill two-thirds of the Jews and only one-third will be able to go to the city of Petra, where God will maintain them for 3.5 years, which are the last 1,260 days before Christ comes back at the second coming. So there's a lot of history and a lot of things that are happening in these last days, God preparing. But when you go back to the book again of the Song of Solomon, here again he's talking about what? About Jesus. I am the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valleys. So then he says this, like a lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. Notice what he's saying here. Here, Jesus is speaking of the groom the way he sees the church today, the bride of Christ. I mean, Paul the Apostle in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 5, verse 21 to the end of the chapter, verse 31, he speaks about the bride and he speaks about the groom. And he gives instruction to the wives to be submissive to their husbands. And then he talks to the husband three times and says a husband ought to love his wife not only as his own body, but as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Think of what Christ has done for his church. How about you, husbands? Are you willing to die for your bride? Because that's the way Christ looks at the church. He's our husband and we're his bride. Think how much Christ loves each one of us individually. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The church, the separated ones, the called out ones. And then one day the church, because God not only loves the church, but that one day when everything breaks forth on the earth, what is God going to do? He's going to rescue his church, his bride, by taking us to heaven, not keeping us here when the Antichrist comes, but making a distinct separation of those that truly have been born again of the Holy Spirit, and that the true church and Christ is the real bridegroom to them. And then we shall be with him forever and ever and ever and ever. Just like a marriage. I thought today as I was reading about these things about Christ. Because we do counsel a lot of people here. But it's incredible to see how many people are divorcing today. So many. So many people separating. And yet, why can people hear what the Word of God says and be obedient to the Word of God? Why do we have to follow in the ways of the world? In statistics today, the church has as many divorces as the world today, and we're the church. We're supposed to be the example of holiness in the marriage unto Christ. And then not only does the children suffer if there's divorce, but there's a separation between the family that God intended to be together until death do us part, so help me God. You made that vow. Now, when you come out of the world, you come to Christ, all things are forgiven. But when you become a Christian and you know the Word of God, and you know that God hates divorce, why is it that people go against the Word of God? That's disobedience. And I think it's important for us to understand that if you can't get along in one marriage, what makes you think you're going to get along in the second marriage? You take your baggage with you. And yet this is where the church is today. Here in verse 2, what he's saying here, he's talking about his church. You notice that the thorns here, he says, like a lily among the thorns. Well, remember, the thorns came first where? At the fall of man, Adam and Eve. Remember? Secondly, it also speaks of Jesus Christ when they put a crown of thorns on his head. And thirdly, it speaks also of the fruit of sin. The fruit of sin. Think how much sin has affected people today. I mean, I look at the world today, I go back when I was a kid. The perversion today in regular TV. Just regular TV is filthy dirty today. Language they use. Can you imagine how cable is? And imagine when you go into your computer and if you're going to different websites that are not edifying, they're not building up in your life, that make you not only look at nudity, pornography, and all these things that are going to mess up your mind, your thoughts. And then you're going to ask your wife or your husband to perform in the same way, which will never happen. Will never happen. It's emptiness of life, you guys. I've been there before I came to Christ. It's the emptiness of life. It will not satisfy you. It will draw you into the pit of hell. Your mind will be stained forever. Forever. And I think it's really of importance that as we look at this song, we see the sacredness of marriage between me and Christ. A relationship with Jesus Christ. Know you not, Paul said, that you're the temple of the living God. And if any man defile the temple of God, God himself shall destroy that person. Shall destroy that person. We are the bride of Christ, the temple of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And yet one day, the bride is going to be presented the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of us as husbands and wives, we as husbands are going to have to present our wives before the Lord.
This is Somebody Loves You Radio with Roel Reese. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com for resources to encourage your heart and direct your steps in God's ways. If you have prayer needs that you'd like to share with Roel, he's happy to personally respond. You can email him at PastorRoel@SomebodyLovesYou.com. Now let's get back to more of our study of the Song of Solomon.
Imagine when God divorced Israel because of what they were doing. I mean, we have the greatest example in the Old Testament with Israel. With Israel and their relationship with God. The moment they left Egypt, their relationship with God was broken. And if you go through all the Old Testament, you begin to see not only Israel broke their fellowship with God, but the priests and the elders and all those people, and God had to punish them. And even to the present time, God still has not restored Israel. In the future, he will. When Jesus Christ comes back, in the book of Zechariah, it says that when they look at him, they're going to ask the question, who pierced your hands? Who pierced your side? And who pierced your feet? And what was that in your head? And he's going to say, this, this, and that was done in the house of my friends. You did it to me. Imagine that. You did it to me. If we can learn in this book the importance of the bride of Christ and Jesus himself as the husbandman, you know what's going to happen? You're going to have a better relationship with God. You'll have a better relationship with your wife too, and your husband. But if you don't learn what the Bible teaches, then how can we ever really come to that place in our lives where we can say, you know what? I honor the Lord with everything in my life because he's blessed me with my wife, with my children, with my home, with everything that I have. It's all his. He is my bridegroom. He is my bridegroom. I am his bride. Fully, completely. One day Jesus Christ will come for his bride. Notice now the Shumalite. She now speaks. She says, like an apple tree among the trees of the woods. So here she's speaking and she takes up a comparison here between the king and the sinners. Notice what he says here. So is my beloved among sons. I sat down in the shade. With great delight. That's our relationship with Christ. I sat down in his shade with great delight. We delight with Jesus Christ. He's our delight. When we read the Bible, when we pray, when we witness, when we fellowship, he becomes our great delight in every area of my life. Notice again, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. So here he's talking also, he's painting not only the picture here of his work that he has obtained for each one of us individually, becoming fruitful. The Shumalite to the daughters of Jerusalem. In verse 4, he brought me to the banqueting house. Notice this. The banqueting house was a house of wine in reference to a place of joy and gladness. Joy and gladness. So here the king, he's talking about the love that Christ has for each one of us individually. He brought me into his place, a place that he says where I found joy and gladness in him. Joy and gladness in him. That's what we desire to have. Can you imagine being a Christian and not having joy or gladness? Look at the world today. They don't have joy. They don't have peace. They don't really have anything that can bring satisfaction to them. That's why they're so dissatisfied. Whatever they do, there's an emptiness right after they do it. But when you come to Christ, You're supposed to come and reckon the old man to be dead, and you're supposed to be content with what Christ is doing in your life. And this is the reason that so many times Christians call themselves Christians. They're not satisfied, and so they get bored with God, and they go back into the world, thinking that it's going to be better than the first time, but it's not. You know why? Because once you taste of the goodness of God, you'll never be the same. Never be the same. It's like a marriage. When you get divorced, you have a lot of memories. A lot of memories from the past. And if you bring them into your marriage, you're going to have big problems. That's why Jesus Christ takes our sins and he cleanses us and washes us. He throws them as far as the east of the west and buries them in the deepest part of the ocean. Never again remembers them again. And if he doesn't remember, we should never remember either. So here he's talking about this great thing that he does. Look what else he says. In verse 3 again. Like an apple tree among the trees of the woods, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down in the shade with great delight. His relationship to Christ. And his fruit was sweet to my taste. And the Shumalite and the daughters of Jerusalem. So when he talks about the fruit here, he's painting this picture. This picture, this beautiful picture of righteousness, sanctification, peace, and the descent of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, peace, gentleness, goodness, kindness. That's something that the world cannot ever taste until they repent of their sins. And they come to be born again of the Holy Spirit of God. So that God can not only baptize them, but use them in such a way that they bring glory to him and not to each one of ourselves. And then he says in verse 4, notice the love that Christ has for us again. He brought me to the banqueting house. His banner over me was love. Sustain me with cakes and raisins. Refresh me with apples, for I am lovesick. Notice the reason here that we are lovesick for who? For the Lord. Lovesick for the Lord. I mean, think of how much longer Jesus is going to take to come. He's been gone for 1900 years. 1900 years. And this is one of the reasons that the world will not believe this. When you're talking about the coming of the Lord, they say, oh, they've been saying that since my grandma's time, you know? It's never happened. But I'll tell you this. For the last 40 years in my life, the only thing that has kept me walking the straight line is knowing that Jesus is coming again. That he's coming again. Especially when I read the book of Matthew, and I read how in chapter 25, he says that we not only when he comes, he wants to find you what? So doing what you were doing. Not stop doing what you're doing. But continue to do that so when he comes, he'll find you so doing what? His will, not your will. And then when the Lord comes, there'll be a joyous time. But think if he comes and he finds you not doing his will, then you're in trouble. That's why we really have to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ every single day of our lives. Because God wants to work in my life and he wants to work through my life. Verse 6, his left hand is under my head and his right hand has embraced me. Notice here, he speaks here of Christ comforting our lives, our needs. He takes care of us. He watches over us. Just like a husband over his wife. Notice that. So the church is being taken care of by the Lord Jesus Christ. He comes along and he comforts us by sending the Holy Spirit. He sent what? The Comforter. So that he could meet all of our spiritual needs. When I need to pray, I pray by the power of who? The Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit with groanings knows what I need in my life and he communicates to God the Father my needs. And that's the way it should be in each one of our lives. And then his left hand also speaks what? The idea of protection, support, all in his love for each one of us individually. And then notice the king's charge, verse 7. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, there are women in the harem that they have, he says, the daughters of Jerusalem by the gazelles or the dust of the field, do not stir up nor awake love until it pleases me. You know, they were so in love. When you're so in love with Jesus, you really don't want anything to interrupt it. Think of how many people in the church, not outside the church, in the church, From the first time they came to know Jesus Christ today, how they have left their first love. Remember Ephesus? There's one thing, you're doing a lot of works, which is great, but there's one major thing you messed up in. You have left your first love. Christ is no longer king of your life. He doesn't rule. Christ has been put to the side. Other things have taken the place of Christ. When Jesus Christ should be the only one in our lives, and then everything else will flow. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So here's a beautiful picture. Then he says this. He goes on to say in verse 8, the Shumalite, the voice of my beloved, that's Christ. Behold, he comes, leaping upon the mountains, skipping up like the hills. Notice that. So here he's talking about the resurrection of Christ, how Christ resurrected from the dead. And at the same time, it refers also to the difficulties and hindrances when he speaks about the hills, skipping through the hills. My beloved Christ is like a gazelle or a young stag. Behold, her hand, notice that he stands behind our walls. He is looking through the windows, gazing through the lattice. My beloved spoke Christ and said to me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Notice that. Here he is emphasizing that she must come forth out of her own life to come to Jesus Christ. Excuse me, you got to leave everything behind to come to Christ. Remember Jesus, mother, father, son, daughter, you got to leave them all behind. If you love them more than you love me, then you're not worthy of me. Christ has to be number one. Then he says, verse 11, for lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come. And the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. Notice a time of celebration. The fig tree speaks of Israel. Puts forth her green figs. This is an analogy of the second coming of Christ. And the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. When Christ comes back, remember the rapture is going to take place. We're going to come back with Jesus Christ. Who he brings? He brings his bride with him. His bride rules with him. The bride of our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ, the church, the real church. And then in verse 14, he continues to tell, notice here, the love that he has for her. Oh, my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the cliff, let me see your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. And then her brothers notice, catch us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Here when he talks about the little foxes, he speaks about the old life that we used to have before. Remember? All the little things that we went through in our habits that we had, drugs, alcohol, whatever it is. Whatever habit you had, it's not the big foxes, it's the little foxes in our life that will destroy you. It's not the big sin, it's the little sins that you have to be careful with. That's why he calls the little foxes here. Then he goes on, the Shumalite, verse 16. My beloved, so here now, the love that the church has for Christ, my beloved is mine and I am his. Is that cool? And notice, he feeds his flock among the lilies until the day breaks, notice her beloved, and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be like a gazelle or a young stag upon the mountains of Bether. The day of the Lord to come, he talks about here.
Well, it's our prayer that today and every day you'll find comfort and strength in the knowledge of Jesus' great love for you. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Ruiz. If you'd like to get a complete copy of today's lesson, we'll be happy to send one to you for a donation of $5 or more. Just call 800-634-9165 and mention today's teaching from the Song of Solomon, chapters 2 through 4. We'd also like to offer you a resource with additional assurance that Jesus has called you by name to live in close personal relationship with Him. My Husband, My Maker is an autobiography from Rawls' late wife, Sharon. Tracing her faith journey through the early years of her marriage, this resource will show you how God can bring redemption and meaning into your life when you surrender your heart to His care. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 to order Sharon's autobiography titled My Husband, My Maker. We'll send your copy for $10 plus shipping and handling. That's 800-634-9165. Or you can write to Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. We're a listener-supported ministry, and we're thankful for your partnership in sharing God's life-giving word. Join us next time for a New Year's Eve look at the difference Jesus' mighty love makes in our lives. Continuing this series in the Song of Solomon, you'll find out more of the ways your relationship with the Lord can bring strength to your spirit, hope to your heart, and purpose to your life. This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.